Hey, welcome to Intentional Living. Dr. Randy here. Got a question for you. This is going to make you think, and it could be transformational. It's one of the most important questions. If you're married, and maybe your marriage is not exactly where you'd like it to be, you know, it's just not working exactly. If you had woken up this morning, and overnight something had happened, I don't know, magic, I guess, and your relationship has changed and everything was just as you know God intended for your marriage to be, what one thing would be different? Because the answer to that question will really bring into sharp focus the one thing that the two of you or one of you could work on that would transform your relationship. And so we're going to hear some more stories today of people sharing one thing that they're doing in their marriage to build it, to grow it. And in the process, you're going to be encouraged. That's why we do this. Intentional Living. It is a ministry of Intentional Life Media. Here's our mission statement. Our goal here is to help you, to encourage you, to teach, instruct, motivate, whatever way we can help touch you through media. That would be radio, through our videos, through our podcasts, through our events, through our publications and our books and so on, to help you experience your life today as God intended. And you can take out your life, take that out and put in any word you want. Help you experience your finances, help you experience your marriage, help you experience your health, your work, whatever it may be, the way God intended, which raises a big, huge question. What does God intend? And his intention, we know, it's a hope and a future. It's good. You know, God's intention for you is not evil. It's not bad. It's good. He wants the best for you. And if you experience life the way God intended, your life would be better. So that's the question. What is God's intention? And then what one thing can we start working on today that would help that flow become a flow into our life in a positive way? And that's why we do this. You're welcome to share your one thing story with us at 888-888-1717.
My intentional living is to exhort my husband and to tell him how much I love him and how much I thank him for working and taking care of us. I exhort him daily, and even when I don't feel like it, not only exhort my husband, but to show him physically, with physical touch, that I love him and that I'm not afraid to be seen with him, by running my hands through his hair, touching him on the cheek at church, just that touch. There's so much in that touch. That's what every person desires, is to just feel loved and to know they're loved. And so that's just part of my intentional living, is that physical touch for my husband.
Thank you, Brenda. Listen, you know, one thing that could make a difference in your relationship, that's what we're focused on today. Eric, my friend, you're going to be next in Michigan. You know, we talk about the things that hold us back, and I think Eric wants to address the things that he kind of learned about himself and to hear his story that he left with us. Take a listen.
Hey, Dr. Randy. This is Eric from Jackson, Michigan. Oh, I always hear your prompts to call in. I never do. I just felt very, very pushed to call in, very prompted to call in. So I just want to share as far as like what I've been doing in my life and my prayer walk and my pursuit of the Lord is that in the past, pre-Jesus, now that I've been able to build a relationship with him and listen to the Holy Spirit and be led by the Holy Spirit, I now will take a situation where in the past I was very quick to verbally, emotionally, or physically respond in a certain way. Obviously, all those around me knew how I was going to respond in different situations, so I had the reputation for the various different responses that were less than favorable, right? Let's be honest. Through my prayer life and my relationship with our Lord and guidance of the Holy Spirit, I've been able to take these situations, and my motto is pause, pray, and then proceed. So I try to pray throughout the day, just on every situation, every scenario, to maintain that relationship and that conversation with the Holy Spirit. And when I get into a situation or a conversation or something happens, I'm able to now, through the pausing, acknowledge the situation and then realize, oh, okay, right now I'm having an emotional response to this situation and I don't like the emotional response that I'm having. So that right there is a human experience, but I know that the Holy Spirit is leading my spirit to not respond. And it's always revealed to me that this is a human emotional response or a physical response to this situation. That's not how we have to respond. I can choose different responses. So I take these situations and I'll package them up like wrapping a present. And then I give this to you, God, because I know all things are possible with you and through you. And I can't handle this. Eric in the flesh cannot handle this without you. And it's been really, really amazing. And it's incredible what we can get through. And then the icing on the cake for me is that we do daily devotionals with my wife and we listen to your radio channel basically continuously, nonstop at every opportunity possible. And again, the music talks to us and keeps us really just engaged and focused. And it helps battle the intrusive thoughts. And when these scenarios arrive, we now have the strength in Christ to decide, oh, we don't necessarily have to jump in the fire with this scenario. And the cool thing that has recently happened is that's kind of been my way to share the relationship I have with our Lord to those around me, because they know who I was in the past and they now are seeing me in different situations and scenarios and communication. And they're like, who are you? And what did you do with Eric? So that's been just a complete blessing.
You're listening to Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Intentional Life Media and is made possible by the generous support of listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Husband, he's not a believer, and I'm a new believer. My husband and I have had a real tough time, you know, connecting since then, and about a month ago or so, he started tuning into your radio program because he knew how much I listened to it and how much it meant to me. One day I called to say, could you please tune into this, and he already had it on, and just that is already changing things for us. And
you think he's listening right now?
I know he is.
Well, talk to him. What would you like to say to him?
I just want you to know how much this means to me, and that I want more than anything for our marriage to work, and I love you.
That's pretty special. That's why we do what we do here at Intentional Living. And, you know, we have families around the country and individuals and some businesses that support what we do financially because we're listener supported. We don't get any government support, no commercials, that kind of thing. We just operate on a ministry basis with people who help us. And we get a chance to spread this intentional living message in Christ all around the world, not only through our radio network of stations, but through our podcast and our events and publications and so on. We see what we do as a very efficient way for donations to be used because it's so broad and reaching so many people. And it has a long tail. What that means is that because it's a podcast, it's being heard over and over and over and over all over the world for years to come, all our programs and our archives. And so when you support the ministry, it's not kind of like a one-off gift that just, it's done, it's there. It's going to continue to make a difference in people's lives. And so I say thank you to those of you who support us monthly and invite those of you who are not to come and be a part of it today. Your monthly support makes a difference. By calling 888-888-1717, press number 2, you're going to make a difference. You'll be talking to our staff, or you can go online and sign up there, join us with a gift or monthly support safe and securely at theintentionallife.com. Thank you. Man, God bless you for your support.
This is Daniel in Deming, New Mexico. It's been 20 years that I've been married, and it seems like it's been last week that I've been married. I love my wife so much, and the one thing that makes our marriage so strong is that divorce is not even a vocabulary in our marriage, because we never have that thinking of ever getting divorced, or divorce is never the word, and we do everything together. Housework, we fix cars, we do everything together. And I think that's what makes a beautiful marriage, is when you work as a one person.
Yeah, you're right, man. Listen, I can see you fixing the car together. Hand me the wrench. That's good, though. Listen, whatever it is that connects husband and wife is important. Sometimes it's sports. Sometimes it's, I don't know, music, whatever it may be. But finding those points of connection, really important. It's easy to get off on our own little projects and miss each other. We don't want that. All right. Again, you can find out more about the ministry. Everything you need to know is at theintentionallife.com. Talking about marriage today, we go to Brian. It sounds like communication is your one thing. What is it that you're working on, my friend?
Well, like I said, it's not so much that I need to work on it, because we've been working on it.
Oh, good. What is it?
Back in year three, we discovered, you know, we don't see eye to eye. We're true individuals. And, you know, our life's always been rooted in God. But we learned that when we get to fighting each other, it's not a matter of us, either one, having to be right.
No.
But sometimes we need that moment of clarity to step back and say, hey, I need space. Mm-hmm. And we give each other that space. But then when we come back together, rather than going straight back into the argument, our first thing is we love each other. We tell each other we love each other. We know that. During that moment that we're apart from each other, we usually pray to God, or at least I do. I pray to God, it's like, you know, am I needing some clarity? Am I saying it wrong? Am I approaching the situation wrong? Or am I wrong? You know, because it happens. And sometimes it's just that moment to sit there and think, and we realize that, oh, yeah, it could be set a different direction or whatnot.
And what differences has this made, Brian?
Oh, 19 happy years of marriage.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you get
two. That's what the difference it's made.
Yeah, you're both strong people. You both got opinions, and that's good. But what you've done is you've been intentional in saying, all right, this is the way we're going to communicate. We're going to give ourselves a little time to get back centered spiritually and otherwise, get our heads clear, and then we come back, we really focus on some sort of a solution to whatever it is we're talking about. That's what I hear.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And like I said, and we start off with the fact that we love each other. You know, we don't go straight into the argument, because we need to know each other, loves each other, and even though we have differences, we still love each other.
Right.
It's one of those things that way we don't forget that in that argument, that, you know, we married each other for love.
Mm.
We are together for love.
That's interesting. But speaking of that, I was looking at a research here from Pew that says that's the number one reason. 88% of people said they got married because they loved their spouse. It does make me wonder about the other 12%, however. Because if you marry for other things only, that can be a little complicating. All right, Margie, you're next in Michigan. What's your one thing?
Well, my one thing is actually something that my husband does for me. This year we'll be married 23 years, and he has a good way of sensing when I maybe am overwhelmed, if I have a lot on my plate, and he just frequently will say to me, dear, is there something that I can do for you? And he means that wholeheartedly. Like, he'll drop everything, he'll do whatever I need, and I know that. But it also makes a big difference to me that I could be doing dishes or something, and he recognizes that something is like a little bit off. And a lot of times I don't really need him to do anything, just him recognizing that means a lot to me. And then sometimes I'm like, actually, yeah, I really could use your help with this. And he does it. And it just means a lot to me. We have some teenagers and young adults. And in the last probably like 5 or so years, I was like, why don't I do this for other people? Because it comforts me. So now I do that with my teenager sometimes. Maybe they aren't telling me something that's wrong. I can just say, hey, is there something that I can do for you? And it's just comforting, I think.
Yeah, and it keeps the flow, because you're turning it away from what you think to what they need. And that's a positive thing. If you just joined us, we spent yesterday and today's show really focusing on this thing of the power of one thing, because it's the little things that can make the biggest difference. Think about it. In your own life, it's the little things that add up. Financially, it's a little bit over an extended period of time. For your health, it's a little bit every day. The food you eat, the exercise, what have you, it's a little bit over an extended period of time. Things don't generally just change in one day. And that's true in your marriage. It's the little things, doing one thing every day, that would make a difference in your marriage. And it's huge. It really is. That's why we're here. All right, Pierce, you're next. What's your one thing, my friend?
Well, I can do 7 or I can do 3, but let's do 3.
All right. We can live with that.
We've been at this for 40 years, and oh man, we have just really worked at turning toward each other and working on our relationship, and it's just always been a high priority for us. And, you know, I just can't recommend it enough. Just, you know, be intentional and, you know, lean into your marriage and take the time. But I had 3 things. The first would be build positive sentiment in your marriage. By that, I mean, you know, you really need to have 10-to-1 positive to negative interactions. I mean, you're going to have negative interactions. Yeah. Definitely need to work on looking for opportunities to have positive interactions, say positive things, do positive things, and just let it just overwhelm the negative. That's to build positive sentiment. The second would be, you know, manage conflict with care. And, you know, don't talk when either of you are worked up. You know, set it aside, you know, be willing to say, okay, you know, let's talk about this an hour from now after we settle down. So build positive sentiment, manage conflict with care, and then create shared meaning. You know, I heard somebody talking about, what was the word that she used?
Oh yeah, it was honey,
Hunzi, there you go. That's creating shared meaning. I mean, so now you've got a word that you both imbue with, you know, all kinds of good stuff, right? It's just, you say the word and boom, it's, you know, it's something that you share, and you kind of wink and you both know what it means.
Yep.
You know, that you love each other and you care for each other.
If you have a relationship with someone you love who's emotionally weak, focus on solutions and not problems. Very easy to focus on what's wrong. What's wrong with them, what's wrong with the world, what's wrong with our finances, what's wrong with our parents, what's wrong with ourselves. One of the big issues that happens with parents is, and I've seen this, you get a permissive parent and then you get a very authoritarian parent. It's like a teeter-totter. One will try to offset the other. And we see this in parenting, where one parent saying, my husband is so authoritarian, so in the face of our kids, the other one will slide to the other extreme to be more permissive, thinking they're gonna balance it out, as opposed to sitting down and talking about not you're wrong, but talking about what kind of kids do we want to raise? How can we come to some agreement on one thing that we can agree to intentionally to help us in our parenting? Part of one thing, excerpt from our teaching that we have. By the way, we have a lot of resources, teachings and what have you on our website. And we have an exclusive site for members, those who are supporting the ministry, with a featured lesson each month. To find out more, go to theintentionallife.com or call during West Coast business hours, 888-888-1717. You hear me use that number a lot, right? That's been our number for many years, 888-888-1717. Press number 2, and you can talk to our team. They'd love to speak with you and tell us where you are and what's going on in your life, and we appreciate you supporting the ministry.
Dr. Randy, one thing that helped our marriage at the beginning when we were first married, my dad was a big handyman and did everything around the house when anything went wrong, and my husband doesn't have that gift, and it was really hard for me to transition and realize that he couldn't do the things my dad did, and it caused some friction at the beginning. once I changed my mindset and realized we all have different gifts, and his gift was more financial and business aspect as opposed to doing things around the house. So as soon as I figured that out and hired a handyman, things were better. And I realized that we're not all gifted the same, and he brings other things to the table. And so that was huge for us to realize that we all have different gifts and they're not all the same. So we just have to be patient with each other.
Yeah, you should check the workbench before you get married, right? No, but seriously, that's absolutely true. If we bring comparisons from our family of origin into our marriage, that can either be a positive thing, and sometimes it can create those kinds of undercurrents. Talking about the power of one thing in your marriage, let's get on the line here in Arizona. Go right ahead.
This is Susanna. And one thing I'm trying to be intentional in my marriage is learning how to be content, I would say satisfied. What I realized is that nothing was good enough for me. I would always try to push him. I wanted things done at all, my own time. Kind of wanted to dictate what to do with his time, comparing, you know, what that other person has. My one thing is just being content for what he can offer, because I know he puts us first, always his family. And that's my one thing, is just being grateful and thankful for his time and satisfied and content that what he's doing is best for us. Thank you.
Contentment is a great gain, they say, don't they? All right, these are some comments, people who've left stories with us about their one thing in their marriage. Let's go to, I think, Illinois next. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Julie. I just wanted to say that I changed one thing in my marriage a few years ago, and it's made a big difference in me. I can't say that it's really changed my husband because he doesn't have any idea of what I've done. But in my prayer time, I stopped begging God to save my husband and to change our marriage. What I did was start thanking him in advance for saving my husband and for nourishing our marriage spiritually. It's made a huge difference in me and in my faith when I started thanking God in advance. My husband is not saved as of yet, but I truly believe God hears my prayers and it won't be long.
Yeah, it's good. Trusting him for sure. All right, I think we've got time maybe for one more. Stephanie, it looks like maybe you have a question for me about serving. So what is it? What's your question?
How, I'm a firm believer that with living intentionally, I am supposed to serve people. Mm-hmm. But my question is how do you continue to serve people when you are consistently hit with the negativity, the hurt, the disappointment, how do you hold on? Like, how do you continue to have that faith and to know that that's what you're supposed to do?
And these are people who are close to you, family
Correct.
Type people?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
My kid's dad, mainly.
You serve them, and then what you get back is not what you expected.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, the formula, the intentional living formula, is expectation minus the reality of a moment in time will always equal disappointment. So whenever I hear someone say they're feeling disappointment or hurt, I know an expectation isn't being met. And so really only a couple of things that can be helpful to you, Stephanie, because I hear your heart. Because, you know, I think this is a problem for those of us who are people helper type people, because we can get into the helping profession. I imagine a lot of pastors listening, you feel the same thing. You give your heart. Man, you're up there preaching your heart out, sharing, studying, and you just give it all you got, and you really are into it, and you get off the platform on Sunday, and you realize your people are going out the door sometimes yawning and didn't get it. Come on. And that can be hurtful. It can be hurtful at every level. And you know, parents can get hurt with kids. You know, you love your kids, and then they give you grief, and that can be painful. So, in this case, Stephanie, you really only have one of two choices. You either change reality or you change your expectations.
And still, and just find new people to serve and continue to show the love that I know that I have. And
well,
just if, continue to pray for the people who don't.
If your expectation is that people are going to be love you back, then you need to find people to serve who are going to love you back. If your desire is to serve people without an expectation that they're going to always appreciate or love you back, then you're going to be okay. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yes. The way that, yes.
And so,
that
yeah, and that's a hard thing to do. Sometimes you have to look at a person and just say, I'm loving them anyway. They're a pain in the neck. They're just a difficult pain in the neck, but I'm going to love them because Jesus says I should love them. And, you know, I just, I'm just going to keep loving them.
Okay.
There's a movie, one of my favorite movies from, I don't know, 30 years ago. What About Bob? Did you ever see that movie?
No.
you're probably wise not to. But anyway, it was a movie with Bill Murray, and he talked about people. He was a patient in therapy, and he was talking about people and how strange people are. And he said, some people are just off the hook. It's like the phone. They're just off the hook. And some people, you love them and they're just off the hook. They just don't get it. You love them anyway.
Okay. Thank you very much, doctor.
Does that resonate, or does that just seem like an impossible task for you?
It seems like both, honestly. I think with the way that you explained it, I just need to set my expectations with each person I try to serve, rather than thinking that I have to serve everybody in the same way. Think about serving people the way that they need to be served, mm-hmm. and not how I want to serve them.
You know, that's a hard thing to do, but you're absolutely right, because service, by definition, isn't always going to be appreciated. You serve because, in this case, you choose to serve because God's called you to serve and it's the right thing to do. And if we draw back and pull in on those expectations, it can make our lives a lot easier. All right, everybody. Thank you for being a part of Intentional Living today and the last couple days talking about the power of one thing. We'll be back again next time from our Intentional Living Center, where we have one goal. That's to help you, encourage you, walk with you, so you can experience your life today the way God intended, to experience your marriage today, your finances, your health, your work, whatever it may be, the way God intended, which raises the question, and one of the things we try to focus on is, what does God intend? And when we know that, and then we start to apply it to our life, God gets the glory, and you and I get the benefit in the process. Have a great day. Dr. Randy, Intentional Living, a ministry of Intentional Life Media.